I'm speaking today with David Troyer, a USC English professor and author who's written several novels about Native American life. His latest is a work of nonfiction called Res Life, An Indian's Journey Through Reservation Life. David is a member of the Ojibwe of northern Minnesota and grew up on Leech Lake Reservation there. David, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with what brought you to write this work of nonfiction, Res Life, and what made you decide to approach the topic through a personal lens. Did you feel that the perception of reservation life created by other stories out there, both fiction and nonfiction, didn't reflect what you've experienced?
Yeah, I wanted to write a book that got behind the received iconography. I wanted to write a book that got behind and beyond the usual stereotypes of feathers and paint on one hand and of poverty and alcoholism and despair on the other. And in between the romantic and the tragic, there's a whole range of life. I lived it growing up. Lots of people continue to live complex, interesting, complicated lives, and that's where I wanted to go. That to me as a writer was the place where writing happens.
I read an interesting passage from Res Life where you and your colleagues are out on a lake spearfishing for walleye, speaking Ojibwe to one another, doing something you note that your people have been doing for centuries. And you write that as you're spearing and speaking Ojibwe on this foggy night, you can clearly hear the sound of David Letterman's top 10 list coming from a television at one of these resort homes along the lake. I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition, and I wondered, what do moments like that one say about the staying power of culture in your mind?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the ideas that people have about Native folk is that we live in some faraway land lost in the mists of time, you know, well away from the rest of America. And we do things which are at odds with or different from the things that the rest of America are doing. And that's not the case. You know, we're as much in the mix as anyone else, if not more so in some ways. And so to me, that moment was really kind of beautiful in its own way. That scene kind of brought everything together.
I heard you in another interview talking about inward activism. Instead of Native Americans urging those outside the reservation to pay attention to them, this new activism is members of Indian communities urging one another to preserve their culture. Tell me about this shift, if it is a shift, and why it's significant.
You know, before, sort of on the tail end of the civil rights movement and, you know, up through the 1970s, activism in Indian country, and today too in many ways, was very much directed outward. We want to show you what's being done to us, and we want this to stop, and we need it to stop. And in the name of fairness and, you know, sort of our constitutional rights and sort of morality and so on. But a different kind of activism has emerged alongside of it and kind of eclipsed it in some ways, which is this sort of language and culture-based activism where tribal members are, you know, of the opinion that, you know what, America tried its best to take all this stuff away and failed to eradicate our languages, to acculturate us, and why should we look to them to rectify the problem? And so let's fix it ourselves and let's look to ourselves. So you see language immersion programs springing up in tribes all over the country, not just mine, the Ojibwe, but in Blackfeet country, Navajo, all over the place, Cherokee.
And why is language so essential to culture?
There are a lot of things that go into making up a culture, right? Where you're from and who your family is, kinship, class, geography, religion, all these things come together to make up culture. And language is in that mix as well, and it's one of the most important parts of it. It shapes your relationships with the world around you. It shapes your relationships with the people around you. You know, the word for bear in Ojibwe is mukwa, which a lot of people think etymologically is related to the word for makuk, which means box. And it kind of describes how black bears will den up and hibernate for the winter. They box themselves up. At some level, that linguistic association is going to bring with it, you know, sort of cultural associations, and you're going to understand something about the ecology even of bears just by knowing that word.
David Troyer will be hosting a book discussion and signing next Tuesday at USC. For his book, Res Life, An Indian's Journey Through Reservation Life. For more information on that event, please check out annenbergradio.org.